Good morning. So today in our continuing We Speak series, we're gonna shift gears a little bit. We've been talking for the last few weeks about how God speaks to us and how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Today we're gonna start to think about how we speak to each other, how we can ask questions and really listen to the answers the way Jesus did. And unfortunately for me, I have a really great story of how I royally screwed this up just a couple of weeks ago. So it goes right in with the fact that I'm actually doing this sermon. So I'm preaching to me as well while I'm up here. So keep that in mind. A couple of weeks ago, I was over in the cafe by the coffee, and I made eye contact with a really good friend of mine who I've known for years. And of course, I said, as we normally do, I said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" Which has really become super cliche, right? Do we really want to know? And I asked him how he's doing, and he said, "Oh, you don't want to open that can of worms." So, sensing maybe there was something behind that, I said, "Well, you know, I asked, so yeah, tell me what's going on." So he started to talk to me and tell me what was happening in his life. He was kind of opening up and confiding in me. And then as we were talking, remember, we're in the gym over by the coffee, right? As we're talking, I happened to catch out of the corner of my eye a young man whose family moved away several years ago, who I was really close with, and I missed them dearly. So I saw him, and I diverted my attention over to him. And I said, "You know, are your parents here? How long are you guys in town? My other friend over here was in mid-sentence." So, needless to say, he said to me, "Hey, I'll catch up with you later," and he walked out of the gym. And that's when it hit me. He's like, "Oh, man, I asked him to open up. He started opening up, and then I diverted my attention over here." So I texted him later that day, and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I hadn't talked to these people in so long." And he texted me back, "No problem." He's not a guy that would text back, "No problem," right? He's wordier than that, and I love him for it. So it was still on my heart, like, all week. And I got to Wednesday when I meet with my mentor, so I ran it by him, and I said, "Okay, what should I do, right? What's your opinion?" And he said, "You know, I'd give him a call. Call him up and just talk to him." And so I did, and we talked it out. And fortunately, he forgave me, and he totally understood. But man, how much better would that have been if I had just given him my undivided attention, which I prompted him to talk, right? And then I diverted my attention. You know, I should have maybe said, "Hey, let's have breakfast together sometime." You know, that would have been a much, much better way to handle things. Probably right by the coffee on a Sunday morning wasn't the right time to prompt someone to open up to me. You know, we're a close-knit but very large family, right? And we have to be self-aware, especially on a Sunday morning when we're excited to see our friends and we want to talk to everyone. There can be definitely a tension in here sometimes as we interact with each other. So, do you consider yourself a good listener? Do you listen well? Real quick, before we go on, I want you to ask the person next to you, "Am I a good listener?" We don't want your answer. We want somebody else's answer. All right, so did you get a laugh? Did they hesitate to answer? How about this one? Did you interrupt the person asking you the question? Or did you finish their sentence for them while they were asking you? Did you get offended by their answer? Well, fortunately, we have an example of how we should interact with others. All through the New Testament, Jesus is in high demand, yet you never saw him rushed or cutting others off or offending anyone unless they deserved it, right? The Pharisees, they had it coming. Now, are we Jesus? No. He knew stuff that we can't possibly know about the people he interacted with. So I can't be Jesus, but I can be a better David, right? You can be a better you. We can all be a better version of ourselves, and that's our goal here. Last week, Joe talked about how we speak from the perspective of listening to God first and hearing the guidance of the Holy Spirit, making his voice the most important voice that we're guided by. Now, this week, we're going to talk more from the perspective of having a humble heart when speaking to others, communicating in such a way that we seek first to understand and then to be understood. Asking questions and really listening to the answers as a way to show love to others and hold them in a higher regard than yourself. We'll take a look first at how Jesus exemplified humble communication in various circumstances. Then we'll take a look at some scriptures from the Old and New Testament that teach us how we should approach others in conversation. And after that, we're going to pair up and practice with some questions that I've prepared for you to ask each other. You're going to practice asking questions to the other person with the goal of better understanding where they're coming from without sharing your opinion. This is going to be harder for some of you than it is for others, but we're going to give it a try anyway. And I'll give you further instructions on that when the time comes. So first, let's take a look at how Jesus communicated in the Gospels. Now, I'm sure you could read the New Testament and maybe come up with some varying numbers on this, but even if you did, it probably wouldn't be enough to change the outcome here. By one estimate, Jesus asked 307 questions throughout the Gospels. And that's just ones that are recorded, right? It might probably be a much larger number than that. So in contrast, guess how many questions Jesus answered directly without answering the question with a question? Seven. Wow, you guys are very good. Y'all have read your Bible. It's actually eight is the number that I found. Apparently, the questions he asked were much more important than the answers he would give. So why are questions more important than answers? Aren't answers great, right? Don't we go lots of trouble to find answers? We have Siri, Alexa, Google, all that stuff to give us answers. And then we have knowledge, right? Then we're smart. Then we know stuff. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says about that. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3 says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagine that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loved God, he is known by God." Now here, Paul is referring to food sacrificed by idols, but this principle that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up can be applied to other areas as well. So knowledge by itself just makes us think that we're better than others. Think of it this way. If you're standing at a funeral with someone whose loved one just passed away from cancer, are you going to want to inform them of the science of why that happened? No. No. You might not want to say anything at all. Just being there and hanging out with them is probably all they need in that moment. Words just mess everything up. Jesus had all the knowledge in the world and then some, yet he chose to give very few answers, but to ask lots of questions. He could easily have answered every question that was asked of him just to wow everyone, but that's not what we see in the Gospels, is it? Maybe, just maybe, Jesus knows something that we don't. You see, I think Jesus knows that those answers that we all seek don't give us the hope that we seek. So instead, he gives us questions that cause us to think, to dissect our lives, and see what's really important. Questions are better than answers. Think of the people who've made the most impact in your lives. Was it the person who sat you down and lectured you into submission? Or was it the person who asked questions and listened to you and guided you and helped you reflect on life? For me, the people who made the biggest impact on my life are ones who asked the most questions and listened to the answers. Lectures have given me good information, but when we talk about real, meaningful change in my life, I can't give lectures much credit. I would usually doodle. When we look at what Jesus does and the questions he asks, we see that he's helping people he's interacting with to evaluate their lives and set it on a better course. He isn't just spouting out information, he's changing lives simply by asking the right questions and then caring about the answers. Answers are overrated. We think we need them, but in many cases, they don't give us what we'd hoped. So let's take a good look at the questions that Jesus asked. We already know there are about 307 questions that he asked. We're going to go through each one this morning. I'm just kidding. We're not going to go through each one this morning. We're going to take a look at some of the different types or categories of questions that Jesus asked. Now, of course, there's others, but this will get us started down the right road. And the intention here isn't to catalog Jesus's questions. The intention is to help us all grow in our faith and hopefully avoid some awkward situations like the one that I brought upon myself that I described to you earlier. Jesus asked questions of invitation. Early in the Gospels, we see Jesus starting his ministry and inviting people to follow him. Interestingly, a common question that he asked his disciples was, "What are you seeking?" As we see in John 1:38. This question gets to the heart of what they're really looking for. He's asking them if their current way of living is really giving them what they want in order to be fulfilled. If not, follow me and I'll give you what you're truly after. He continued to use this style of questioning throughout his ministry. He asked questions to expose people's motives and then invited them to follow him. John 18:7, whom do you seek? John 20:15, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And this is such a relevant lesson for us today. Do we need someone else telling us what to do? No, we need those who will ask questions and cause us to evaluate what we're really after in life. A question can help someone dig deeper where a simple piece of information cannot. Jesus asked questions of identity. Mark 8:27, who do people say that I am? Luke 9:18, who do the crowds say that I am? Matthew 16:13, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? What a revealing question for him to ask, right? It's not that he was curious about what people thought of him. He knew that already. He knew their thoughts. Jesus was after something else. Jesus used these questions to identify of identity to point his followers to where their identity lies. These questions were directed at helping them see who he really was and the implications that that held for them. Did they see Jesus as the Messiah? Did they believe who he said he was? Again, rather than just telling them who he said he was and what to believe, he used question to help them truly understand who he was. When we're just told a fact, we don't really own it, do we? When we have to stop and process and arrive at a conclusion, it becomes part of who we are. We own it because we're the ones that thought of it. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's causing his followers to pause and contemplate who he really is and come to the conclusion on their own. Jesus asked questions of intent. When asked a question, Jesus would often answer the question with a question. Some of our current and previous leaders here at CCW were masters at doing this. Well, they had a great and worthy teacher in Christ. But what a brilliant way to respond. He used these questions to reveal the heart of those asking. Matthew 7:3, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? I always picture like this giant log sticking out of your eye. Luke 5:22-23, why do you question in your hearts, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Matthew 9:4, why do you think evil in your hearts? This is in essence what the parable of the Good Samaritan is about from Luke 10:25-37. Jesus was asked a question of what is needed for eternal life. And he knows what's on the heart of the lawyer who asked him this question. So he tells a story and then follows up with this question. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Well, why tell a story and then ask a question? Wouldn't it have been easier just to answer the question? Well, Jesus was trying to get the lawyer to realize that he was going about it the wrong way. His intent was wrong. He was trying to get the lawyer to evaluate his life and see that his intentions were off. The questions Jesus asked of intent helped those on the receiving end evaluate their lives and see where their hearts really were. Jesus asked questions of healing and compassion. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus healed countless people, but what's really fascinating is he would often ask the people if they wanted to be healed before he performed a miracle. Now, these questions seem to be rhetorical, to have obvious answers, but Jesus was using them to get at something deeper. I love these. Mark 8:23. Do you see anything? He asked the blind person. Do you see this woman? He said to Simon as the woman was standing right beside him. John 8:10. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? He said to the woman after everyone had left. Luke 14:3. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? He asked of the Pharisees. And then finally, John 5:6. Do you want to be healed? Jesus asked the paralyzed man. And what all these questions have in common is that they center around someone in need. These questions Jesus asked to reveal two important lessons. First, that he cares about the problems we're facing and he wants to bring healing, but he'll only do it if we allow it. Unfortunately, we can't club people over the head and throw them in the baptismal. It just doesn't work that way. Permission is sacred. Jesus won't force anything on us. Rather, he extends an invitation to a better life. The second thing we can learn from this is that Jesus wants his followers to have the same compassion that he has. Half the questions above are directed at someone that objected to Jesus' healing or interacting with someone in need. Jesus is using a question to help them see where their compassion is lacking. He wants them to see the hurting people around them and have love and compassion as he does. Jesus asked questions of life and faith. These questions were aimed at causing a person to pause and reflect on what's really important, to take a step back and see the bigger picture. These questions are a challenge to shift our focus. Matthew 16:26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Luke 12:25, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his life? Matthew 6:25, is not life more important than food and the body more than clothing? Luke 11:11-12, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. These questions reveal that we're being focused on the wrong thing. Not necessarily a bad thing, right? But just a less important thing. We get distracted so easily by something less important, but Jesus doesn't want us to lose sight of what is most important. These questions were asked by Jesus to help us see what we have made most important in our lives and to help correct our priorities. Jesus asked questions of love. And these are some of the most remarkable that he asked. He lays his heart on the line, and in moments of incredible vulnerability, he shows his humanity. It's in these questions that Jesus asks his disciples if they truly love him, if they actually want to be with him. We see early on in his ministry in John chapter 6, after Jesus teaches a very hard lesson, everyone listening decides it's too hard to follow Jesus, so they all left. Now it's just Jesus and his 12 disciples. Jesus turns and asks from John 6:67, do you want to go away as well? This vulnerable question reveals what Jesus is after. He wants a relationship with his people, not subservience. He will not force anyone to follow him, and rather chose to pose this question in hopes that they would choose a relationship with him. We see another similar question in John 21:15-19. Peter has denied Jesus three times, and then Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? There's a lot that could be said here, but what we're seeing is Jesus restoring and inviting Peter back into relationship with him. Peter had blown it. Been there? Anybody else been there? Peter had blown it and he knew it. But Jesus is showing that his love is greater. Jesus is showing that that's his desire for a relationship with Peter. This is true of us today. Jesus chooses to ask questions of love and invitation to us today. Why? Because he wants a relationship with you. If that's something that's not present in your life, we would love to talk to you about it. God sent his only son to die on the cross as a once and for all sacrifice for your sins. And we can help you walk through the process of believing that Jesus is the Messiah, repenting of your sins, turning away from them, and living God's way. Not that you're going to be perfect. We just start down the road of doing things his way. Confessing that Jesus is the Lord of your life and participating in his death, burial, and resurrection by real biblical baptism. I'll ask you the same way Jesus did. Do you want to be healed? Do you want a better life? What are you waiting for? So now I want to take a look at a couple of Proverbs and some other scriptures that can help us put some legs on this idea for us. Jesus was obviously a master at communication, and he was God, so he had an advantage over us when it came to asking the right questions at the right time. Remember, our goal is to grow to be more like Jesus, right? To be a better version of ourselves. So we'll start with a verse in James, and if you're not familiar with James, he has a way of laying things out in a very easy to understand, very straightforward and to the point kind of manner. Verse 119 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Man, if we could just get that like half right, maybe half the time, that would be revolutionary. Listen to others with intent, and we don't plow over them, but really take in what they're saying and think about it. Then if it's something that angers us or we disagree with, we ask questions to try to gain an understanding of where they're coming from. That's the example that Jesus gave. Another important part of asking questions and really listening to the answer is humility. This verse, man, if it were applied in churches today or like especially online, it would change the world. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." This is another area where I would just say try it. Try it. Pray in the morning. Ask for God's guidance. Ask him what this looks like for you in your life. Then go into your normal daily routine and, man, watch God show up. You'll be blessed for your obedience. Everybody around you will be blessed because of your Christ-likeness is just lighting up the room. That's how we can make a difference in the world, guys. Not by judging or yelling or hating, but by showing the love of Christ as you go. Proverbs is such a rich source of wisdom on this subject. What I like to do is read one proverb in the morning, and you can kind of ruminate it on it all day long. Give it over to God and ask him what he wants you to learn from it or extract from it, how he wants that verse to be applied to your life. One of my favorites is Proverbs 17:28. "Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue." What's that other saying we have? It's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Then there's Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Again, the focus is on the lost art of listening. And this one gets right to the heart of what we're talking about today. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." We'll have a chance too soon to understand and intentionally practice not offering our own opinion. I love the way this proverb claims that there is actually pleasure in understanding. Have you ever been in conflict with someone and you finally sat down and hashed it out and really listened to each other and made an effort to understand each other? Isn't it a relief once you kind of find common ground? And then you say things like, "Man, we should have done that sooner. Why do we wait 12 years? Here's another good one. How frustrating is it when people talk over you before you're done speaking and then make false assumptions about what you were going to say and comment on what they imagine was about to come out of your mouth, right? Well, we can give people the gift of not doing that when we listen with the intention of understanding. Proverbs 18:3 says, "If one answers before he hears, it is his folly and shame." This next one comes with a promise. Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So how do we get wiser? Listen to advice and accept instruction. And if we ask questions and listen, we are well on our way towards wisdom. Then finally, Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. There's so many more proverbs that apply here. You could do a word search like the word mouth or tongue or fool, and it'll pull up all kinds of wisdom from Proverbs and other books in the Bible. So now it's time to put our newfound wisdom into practice. All right, in just a moment, we're going to pair up or three up. Kind of stay where you are. Don't get too crazy. I've carefully selected some questions that are mildly controversial. Mildly controversial for you guys to ask each other. My hope is that you're actually going to disagree with each other on some of these and need to ask questions and gain an understanding of where the other person is coming from. All right, so we'll start with one person asking a question to the other. The question's going to be up here on the screen. Then you'll really listen to the answer and ask follow-up questions in order to gain an understanding of where the other person is coming from. Now, a follow-up question might be something like, what happened in your life that led you to formulate that opinion? Or have you always felt this way, or have changing times caused you to rethink how you feel about it? And then after the follow-up questions, listen to the answers and then continue to ask follow-up questions. And the goal is to gain an understanding. And here's the important thing, to listen to the answers, but the question asker is not allowed to give their opinion, right? You're only allowed to listen until after we switch roles. I'm going to give you about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and then we're going to switch roles. And then they too will be on a quest to understand the one answering and why they feel the way they feel about the subject. Then after a few minutes, after the red shirts break up any brawls that may have started, we're going to switch and have a second question. All right? Everybody ready? Understand where we're going? All right, so go ahead, take a minute and pair up, and once you get situated, I'm going to post the first question. Okay. Booth, are you ready? The first question is, remember, one asker, one answerer. The asker is not allowed to give their opinion. All right? What percent of our time should we give to the church, and why? What percent of our time should we give to the church, and why? All right, let's go ahead and stop for a moment. Looks like we're kind of wrapping things up. So now we will switch roles. All right, the asker becomes the answerer, and the answerer will become the asker. And askers, remember, you're not allowed to offer your opinion, only to ask questions and seek an understanding of where your partner is coming from. Okay, another minute, go ahead. What percent of our time should we give to the church, and why? Yes. Yeah, you're just switching. Okay, I think we're good. We could wrap it up. And I think we're good with the first question. All right, just for good measure, we're going to ask one more question. Now, this one's going to be more controversial for some of you than it is for others. So please maintain control if we can. Should golf carts be allowed on streets the same as cars if they are properly equipped? All right, so go ahead, switch back again. Back to your original asker. Red shirts, stay alert. Okay, guys, go ahead and wrap it up and switch. And your answerer becomes the asker, and the asker becomes the answerer. Go ahead and wrap it up and let's bring it back down to earth. You guys did great, by the way. I was afraid of letting you loose because I remember the days of Shake and Howdy when it was just, for those of you that remember that, it was just like craziness throughout the whole church. But you guys did good. I'm very proud of you. So how did we do? You did great, yeah. Is this something we can apply going forward? Let me ask you this. Ask yourself, how did it feel to be listened to? How did it feel to be asked a question and have someone really listen to your answers? Someone really caring about what you have to say? How rare is that? It's such a foreign concept these days, isn't it? Sunday morning should be a place and time where we can be refreshed, right? This is our team huddle. What kind of church or community could we be if we just got better at listening to and loving each other? You know, we've been out there all week trying to be Christ-like and trying to share God's word and swim upstream, and a lot of times we're standing alone. This is where we can come to be rejuvenated. If we're more intentional out there, men will shine like stars in an incredibly dark world. And then when we come inside these walls, we can lift up and encourage each other and help share Christ more boldly and make a difference in this world through Christ-like love. I'm going to finish with a quote from a guy named David Augsburger, who is a professor of pastoral care and counseling. He wrote, "Being listened to is so close to being loved that most people cannot tell the difference." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the example of your son. And I just pray that each and every one of us can kind of look inward and evaluate and see where we are and how we can get better at this. And Lord, I just pray if there's anybody out there that I, for one, have offended, I pray they come to me and that we can make it better. And I pray for everyone else here, if there's been one little thing that somebody said that offended them or turned them off, that they'll have a conversation and clear it up, and they'll both laugh about it and go on being your children. Father, thank you for everyone here. I so love this family, and thank you so much for what you've built here at CCW. And just pray that we can be strong as we go into our week and share your word with others and get to heaven, bring as many people with us as we can. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.